Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for April 2nd, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Risheng Xu about the identification of a protein that acts as a transcriptional co-activator for the tumor suppressor P53. P53 was discovered over 30 years ago, and it's one of the most studied tumor suppressors. P53 is a transcription factor that's activated by various cell stresses, and when activated, it promotes the transcription of genes that participate in DNA damage repair, in cell cycle arrest, and in apoptosis. P53 is a tumor suppressor because it can prevent cells that have damaged DNA from dividing, or it can cause these damaged cells to self-destruct by initiating apoptosis. At the promoters of target genes, P53 cooperates with an acetyltransferase called P300 to stimulate the expression of the genes that are required for these stress responses. In a study published in this week's issue of Science Signaling, Risheng Xu and colleagues report that a protein called IPMK cooperates with P53 and P300 at the promoters of target genes. Xu spoke to me from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. Risheng Xu, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Annalisa. I appreciate you inviting me.
In this study, you identified IPMK as a transcriptional co-activator that cooperates with P53. IPMK stands for inositol polyphosphate multikinase, a name that implies that this enzyme has multiple functions. What all can this protein do?
Inositol polyphosphate multikinase is a broad specificity enzyme. So what that means is it actually has the ability to accept a variety of small molecule substrates. Now, IPMK is the rate-determining enzyme for the synthesis of the higher inositol polyphosphate species. And specifically, IPMK is capable of phosphorylating IP3, which is your classic 1,4,5 triphosphate, into IP4, and then IPMK can also phosphorylate that into IP5. Now, other than this catalytic activity, IPMK can also phosphorylate PIP2 into PIP3, implying that it is, in fact, a physiologic phosphatidyl inositol 3 kinase. And what's so fascinating about IPMK is that outside of these two catalytic activities, the protein itself also appears to mediate certain functions. So our lab identified a couple of years ago that IPMK is a very critical cofactor of the mammalian target of rapamycin, the mTOR complex. So it is able to stabilize the mTORC1 complex non-catalytically. So IPMK is really a fascinating protein because it exhibits a lot of disparate functions.
And not all of those rely on its kinase activity.
Exactly.
And so IPMK is this multifunctional protein. How did you identify that as a transcriptional co-activator that works with P53? Were you looking at IPMK or were you looking for P53 partners?
So when I first started working on IPMK, you know, generally speaking, we tend to overexpress the protein itself. And what I noticed is that when you overexpress this IPMK protein themselves, the cells look very sick. And so that got me into thinking that maybe IPMK has a potential pro-apoptotic function. At around the time that I was thinking about IPMK and cell death, there was a paper published in Nature Cell Biology by Del Sal and colleagues, where they did a loss-of-function screen in primary human fibroblasts. And one of the hits, one of the top hits in that loss-of-function of P53 screen that they did was actually IPMK. And although Del Sal and colleagues did follow up on that, they focused on another protein. I thought that that was a potential mechanistic link between IPMK and P53.
IPMK acts as a transcriptional co-activator with P53, meaning that its activity promotes P53 activity to stimulate the expression of target genes. Since IPMK is such a multifunctional protein, which activity of that protein is relevant in this context? Is it the kinase activity or some other activity?
So when we started looking at this, we hypothesized that one or some of IPMK's small molecule metabolites might be responsible for this process. So we were very surprised to find that IPMK does not require any of its small molecule metabolites in order to stimulate P53-mediated transcription. In other words, when we put in a mutant form of IPMK, which had zero catalytic activity, both in terms of soluble inositol 3 kinase activity, as well as lipid PI3 kinase activity, that this mutant was able to stimulate P53-mediated transcription just as well as wild-type IPMK, suggesting that the protein itself, as opposed to IP4, IP5, or PIP3, is really critical for mediating this process.
So if it's not the kinase activity of IPMK that's required to stimulate P53 activity, what activity of the protein is required? What's the mechanism?
The protein itself is critical for binding P53 and attracting the P300 acetyl transferase into this transcriptional complex. Now, the P300 acetyl transferase has already been identified and shown to be a critical co-activator of P53. And its mechanism of co-activating P53 is twofold. P300 acetylates P53 directly, and the acetylation of P53 is absolutely critical for the DNA binding ability of the P53 transcription factor. And P300 also acetylates the histones at promoters, allowing for P53 to bind better and therefore mediate transcriptional processes. So what we found was that IPMK, the protein itself, was able to enhance the recruitment of the acetyltransferase T300 and therefore enhance the acetylation of P53 as well as the histones located at P53-associated promoters.
IPMK was sort of acting as a scaffold protein to bind P53 and to bind P300 to bring them together.
That's absolutely correct.
P53 plays a role in the response to several different types of cell stress. Is IPMK involved in all aspects of P53 stress responses, or is it involved in only a subset of stress responses that are mediated by P53?
So P53 is an incredibly important transcription factor, and the entire panoply of genes that are regulated by P53 is in fact still not well defined. I mean, active research is still going on to identify all the genes that are regulated by P53. But simplistically speaking, one can sort of take a step back and say that P53 regulates a certain subset of genes that is responsible for cell cycle arrest. And when a cell is undergoing cell cycle arrest, it's not actually undergoing apoptosis. Another set of genes that P53 regulates are the genes that actually push the cell towards death, the actual apoptotic mechanism. It's a series of steps that a cell takes to die. And IPMK appears to regulate both sets of genes. In other words, when you don't have IPMK, P53 seems to be deficient in transcribing not only genes that are important for cell cycle arrest, such as P21, but is also deficient at mediating transcription of genes that are pro-apoptosis, such as PUMA or BAC.
And so IPMK then is involved in at least two different types of P53-mediated stress responses, the cell cycle arrest response and the apoptotic response.
That's correct.
Loss of P53 has been associated with various types of cancers because it can prevent damaged cells from dividing by inducing cell cycle arrest, or it can cause damaged cells to die by initiating apoptosis. And that's why it's categorized as a tumor suppressor. And P53's ability to induce cell death in response to cell stress has also been implicated in other diseases besides cancers. Is this IPMK, P53, interaction, a point in the P53 pathway that could be targeted therapeutically in the context of cancer or in the context of diseases where cells die when they shouldn't?
Right. So a lot of focus is given to the fact that the P53 tumor suppressor is mutated in approximately 50% of all cancers. Although that's an interesting fact, it actually does pose a sort of mechanistic challenge in terms of treating cancers, because if you don't have P53, it's very difficult to reconstruct an activity that is already lost. I think what it really means is that as many as 50% of human cancers still have an intact P53 protein. And so what that means is, in a lot of those cancers, there's something gone awry or something gone wrong with the activation of P53. And that is actually a much less well-studied phenomenon. And so our understanding of IPMK as a novel regulator of P53 opens up the potential of affecting P53 function, not through P53 directly itself, but through a critical co-activator of P53.
In the case of a cancer, you would want to boost P53 activity to improve the stress response, to make those cells die, or to make them at least arrest the cell cycle.
Right.
But in the context in which you have aberrant cell death in diseases like neurodegeneration, it's P53 activity that you would like to stop. And so in that context, could you think about inhibiting the interaction with IPMK to slow down P53?
Right. So cell death initiated by P53 has been shown to be mechanistically important in disorders such as Huntington's disease and also stroke. Therefore, we can imagine that if we were able to have a therapeutic which selectively blocks the IPMK-P53 interaction, that this might provide a therapeutic benefit.
Thank you, Risheng, for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to be able to chat with you.
That was Risheng Xu, first author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Xu and colleagues, and it's titled Inositol Polyphosphate Multikinase is a Coactivator of P53-Mediated Transcription and Cell Death. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.